Good morning and welcome to Calvary. We're glad you're here. We're missing a few. There must be a party or a picnic going on somewhere they didn't invite us to. I just want to say a special thanks to the people who came out yesterday and helped us at the work day. We got a lot done. These pews look fantastic. They got all the wax out of them. So thank you, ladies, for that. Y'all did a great job. We're 2 weeks from Easter. That's just crazy. We're starting a new series today about how love and Christ's love for us dominates our past, our present, and our future. And as we get ready for Easter, start thinking about who you're going to invite. It is the time of year where people think more about Christ than any other time. And they are ripe for the picking. So we have what they need. So make sure you get prepared to share that with them. As we prepare for our worship day, let's open the service in a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for allowing us to live in a country where we are free to come worship you. Let us never take that for granted. And Father, prepare us now to worship you. Clear the distractions from our minds and our hearts. Purify us. Let us enter into your throne room with praise and worship for you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Join us as we sing.
I'm the master of the sea.
Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you that heaven came down and saved us. It saved us from our sins and allowed us a way to you. And it is in your name we pray. Amen. Be seated. Last week we took a look at this verse, and we're going to take a more in-depth look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And the verse we looked at last week is verse 17, about how when we come to Christ, we are new creatures, and what that truly means. Our past is gone, and that's what we're going to be focused on today. But before we get to that, let's continue to worship a God who is worthy of our worship.
May it be a sweet knocks me down again. I'm reminded of the wrong that I have said and done, and that devil just won't let me forget.
Pray with me. Father, we thank you that you are our Savior and you have forgiven us of our sins and changed our future. And Father, let us be focused on how much you love us, how that reigns in our lives, and how it will change our past. Let the words that are spoken be yours, and let us see you more clearly than we've ever seen you before. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. In 1947, something was introduced that was supposed to change the American housewife's life forever. It was supposed to be a huge time saver. Betty Crocker introduced the boxed cake mix. And it was a colossal failure. Did you know that? Colossal failure. They took it off the market. They reformulated it. And in 1948, reintroduced it, and it has become the staple that we know today. Anybody ever used one of these? You know what changed from 1947 to 48 when they took it off the market to reformulate it? It's still the same today. You now have to add 2 eggs. The original cake mix needed nothing but water. And you know what the American housewives of 1947 said? That is too good to be true. It cannot possibly be any good. And so they took it off. It didn't need anything but water. And it was too good to be true. So they took it off the market and they reformulated it so that you have to add 2 eggs. If you look at the box of every one of them today, you have to add 2 eggs. You can thank the ladies of 1947 that said, that can't be any good. It cannot be good if all I have to add is water. It reminds me of how we as Christians view our life after we accept Christ. What Christ gives us has to be too good to be true. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life begins. Now, here's the part that I think we struggle with more than anything else. What being a new person means is that your old person is completely gone. Everything you did in your past has been washed away. Have you ever said, I can forgive them, but I'll never forget? I can forgive them, but I'll never forget. You remember these? Anybody still got any? Anybody still have a player that works? I do. Think about this for a minute. This is a fantastic series that was done a number of years ago on the history of baseball. From the beginning of baseball in America up to whenever this was written, and it's probably 20 years ago. But it chronologically went through every phase of baseball. Okay? Every part of your life, if you will, is recorded on a VHS tape in heaven. Okay? From beginning to end. Can you imagine who's in charge of that library? Everything you've ever done is recorded. Okay? Now here's the part we have trouble with. At the moment that you accepted Christ, whatever angel's in charge of your library in heaven, they went through and erased them all from that moment back, because they were washed by the blood of Christ. Have you ever asked Christ for forgiveness for something twice? You ever done it? I bet you have. You know what? The second time you ask Him, you know what He says? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? I don't have any idea what you're talking about. Because that tape's blank. It's gone. The part that is too good to be true for us is that Christ washed that away when you became a new person. You ever bought a new car? Most of the time you got rid of your old car, right? You don't get in your new car and treat it like your old car. Because it's not the same car. You are not the same person that you were at the moment you asked Christ to accept you. And everything you did in your past is washed by the blood of Christ, and those tapes are blank. He doesn't even know what you're talking about. Look at with me at verse 18. All of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to Himself through Christ, and God has given us the task of reconciling people to Him, for God was in Christ, reconciled the world to Himself, and no longer counts people's sins against them. He has given us the wonderful message of reconciliation. Everything you ever did at the moment you accept Christ is gone. Those tapes are destroyed. You know what the trouble for us is? We can't forgive ourselves. Because Satan remembers, and he wants you to remember. Because if you can get isolated in your shame, in your disappointment, for things that Christ doesn't even remember, He can render you ineffective for the gospel. Scripture says you're a new person and God doesn't count those things against you anymore. Why do we remember them? Why don't we put them aside? I'll tell you, it's a lot like this. Misty and I have remodeled a number of houses in our lifetime. We have gone in, taken them completely apart, and put them back together. And because of that, you know, especially about 10 years ago, it got real popular to flip a house. And Misty and I can go into a house that has been flipped and tell you if it's been done right. Because what most people consider flipping a house involves a tool like this, where you take a fresh coat of paint and put over all that was there and make it look pretty. That's how they flip a house. When we flip a house, Grant loves what we call demo day. Because when we flip a house, it starts with one of these. Okay? And we take out all that is not useful and get rid of it. When Christ came into your life and forgave you of your sins, He didn't come in with one of these. He came in with one of these. And your sin is gone. When we take a hold of a house, that's not useful is wiped out, thrown into a dumpster, and hauled off. Satan wants you to think Christ used one of these and just painted over all of your sin and it's still there. It's not. It's not. It's gone. Listen to Psalms 103:12. He has removed our sins as far from us as east is from west. You ever gone as far as from east is to west? That's a long trip. And if you start that trip, you'll never get to the end of it. I've been on some plane rides that I wished I could get off of. They don't compare to what Christ has done in your life. And if we're going to be effective, we have to remind Satan that Christ came in with one of these and changed you completely. Let's go on. Verse 20. So we are Christ ambassadors. God is making His appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be an offering for our sins so that we could be made right through Christ. Jesus took every mistake, every shameful act, everything that you ever did, and He got rid of it. So what we have to do is start telling Satan, those things don't exist anymore. Those tapes have been wiped out. I'm a new person. That's how love reigns over your past. Now, if you've ever struggled with your past and Satan ever tried to remind you that you're not really who you think you are, I want to give you a couple things, three things, to remind him of who you are. The first thing is, grab a hold of this. God knew about the things that you did in your past when they were your future. God knew about your past when it was still your future. And He loved you anyway. Turn with me to Luke. Luke chapter 22. This is a story that as we come up to Easter, you know very well. You can relate to, I'm sure. Luke chapter 22, verse 34. Jesus is about to go to the cross. Verse 34 says, but Jesus said, Peter, let me tell you something. before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny me three times that you ever knew me. You remember this story? Peter was ready to fight. I will die for you. You ever said that in your mind? I'll die for you, Christ. And then turn around and tell people you don't even know him? We've all been there. We've all been there. And you know what? Christ still loves you. Even when you deny him, he still loves you. And so the mistakes of our past that Satan wants to replay in your head, they don't exist in God's mind. And so the mistakes of your past, God knew about them when they were your future. And you need to remind Satan of that often. The second thing is, God specializes in using failures. God specializes in using failures. Think about the Bible for a minute. Almost every pillar of faith and great character of this book is an utter failure. Abraham, the father of our faith, he's a liar. When the heat turned on, he claimed his wife was his sister. Because he didn't believe God was big enough to handle the situation he was in at the moment. Moses, the man who delivered, he's a murderer. David, the man after God's own heart, he's an adulterer and a murderer. Paul, he used to kill Christians in his spare time. God specializes in using utter failures. So you need to remind Satan, the failure that you are is perfect for the God that you have. So God knew about your past when it was your future. God specializes in using failures. And in that thought, drop down a few verses to Luke 22, verse 61. This is after that third denial that Jesus promised Peter. Imagine this, if you will. Imagine failing and this taking place. At that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Can you imagine their eyes locked? He's just denied him for the third time. Look into the eyes of Jesus. Suddenly, the Lord's words flashed through Peter's mind. Before the rooster crowed tomorrow morning, you will deny me three times that you ever knew me. And Peter left the courtyard and wept bitterly. This is at the moment that Peter is usable. Because he's coming to grips with he's an utter failure. The third thing, God can use your past to change somebody else's future. We like to hide our failures, especially at church. We like to be spiritual. We like to be the one who can go, do you believe what she did? Yeah, I believe it. But it ain't half as bad as what you did. If we get to a place where we come to grips that we are utter failures, that God knew about our past before it was ever in our future, He can use us to change somebody else's future. Remember the verse later on? Matthew 16, verse 18, you know this. This is Jesus talking to Peter. Now I say to you, Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. In spite of his failures, Peter was a failure, and Jesus still used him. There is nothing you can't do that Jesus won't save you from. If you come to Him and confess your sins, and what you have to remember is that His love and forgiveness is not too good to be true. And He doesn't come in with a paintbrush when He comes in your life. He comes in with a sledgehammer. He comes in with a sledgehammer. I'm going to tell one last story. It's one I've told before. Some of you probably haven't heard it. Some of you who have heard it weren't listening. Some of you who were listening have forgot it. So pretty much there's probably two people in the room that will remember it. Right after, y'all know one of my, it was a bigger fault early in my life than it is today. But one of my faults is sometimes I drive too fast, especially when I was younger. And Misty had a hot rod of a car after we got married. And we left my parents' house one night, and we were going out a two-lane road. And there was a car in front of me and a car behind me. And the car in front of me slowed to make a right-hand turn. And when he did, the car behind me pulled out on the other side of the road and was going to pass both of us. Now, being a person who drives too fast and being in a hot rod, at that moment there was one thing that went through my mind, and that ain't going to happen. That is not going to happen. Who do you think you are? That is not going to happen. And so I laid into this hot rod and left him in the dust. Gone. I topped this next hill, and there was a one of South Carolina's finest. He wanted to talk to me. I was doing 91 in a 45. I was gone. Cop comes up to the car and he says, do you know how fast you were going? And I said, yes, sir, I do. He said, can I see your license? I said, sure. So I gave it to him. He looked at it. He looked at me. He looked at it. He looked at me. And he said, Mr. McConnell, I apologize. I didn't know who you were. I was wrong. I'm doing 91 in a 45. But what you need to know is that my father and me share the same name. and my father was the police chief. It did not dismiss my sin, but it changed the outcome because of who my father was. Your sin is sin, but your outcome has been changed because of who your father is. And when Satan tries to tell you that you're a failure and you're a loser and your past is still relevant, remind him that Jesus came in with a sledgehammer and you aren't that person anymore. Pray with me. Father, I thank you that your love reigns supreme over our past. Help us to remind Satan of who we are because of you. I thank you for your forgiveness, for your love. I thank you for taking our sin and nailing them to the cross, and that your blood washed them away. And it is in your name we pray. Amen.